And good morning. Definitely glad to be back again to worship God in spirit and in truth. And let me just say, we definitely missed everybody, and I'm pretty sure you can say the same. We are definitely important to one another. I think sometimes we take for granted how important we are to one another, how much we mean to one another. And when we don't have the opportunity to do that and we lose that privilege, we sometimes realize how important it is. So I'll be the first to say how important you are to me, how much I love each and every one of you, because when you're kind of missing it and you're not able to come together, you think about those things and you reflect on it. One of the things you also think about is how oftentimes you take it for granted. So we're going to talk about that a little while this morning, about how to deal with times like this. We're going to look at a book that sometimes we don't look at, sometimes we don't like to look at, because it's kind of sad when you think about it. You know, a lot of folks don't like to think about the prophet Jeremiah. When you think about Jeremiah, you think about somebody, if he was walking the streets in 2020, he would probably be that person that you want to stay away from. You know, there's some people in this world, and I'm not trying to make light of them or fun of them, but sometimes all you have to do to get the ball rolling is ask them how they're doing. And they're going to tell you about 12 different things that's going wrong with them. And sometimes they mean no harm, and sometimes they just really want some ears, but sometimes you're just not in the mood for it, you know, because everybody got problems, and we understand those things, and it's good to be able to have a listening ear sometimes, but Jeremiah gives me the mind of that picture. You know, he's oftentimes given the title of the weeping prophet, you know, somebody who's always had some issues going on, and sometimes folks like that is sometimes we like the term they drain your spirit. You know, you were happy till you met folks like Jeremiah. But there's a lot of what Jeremiah was saying. There's a lot in what he said. I don't want us just to pay attention to the fact that he was called the weeping prophet, but I want us to pay attention to why he was weeping. He was weeping because of what had happened to the nation of Israel. During the time that he was writing, during the time that he penned this book of Lamentations, they were in Babylonian captivity because of their extreme disobedience to God. Now compare that to our times today. They were going through some things. They were suffering. God was laying the rod to them. They were experiencing the chastisement of God, the severe chastisement of God. And if you've ever read and done a study of Lamentations, the first two chapters, he talks about what is going on in the nation. But this third chapter, he starts to talk about how it affected him. Now think about that nine times today. We know we're living in a nation and a world where there are a whole lot of things going on. To name a few, look at what's going on with the pandemic we're dealing with. And it affects a lot of folks in different ways, either directly or indirectly. You know, it's creeping closer and closer, and I think sometimes in this world, because we don't live in a metropolis, we kind of felt like we were safe here in small places like Albemarle. No, sir, no, ma'am. It is alive and kicking in Stanley County and everywhere else around, so that is not anything to fear, but I'm just letting us know we're not immune because we don't live in big metropolises. Well, look at the economies. Folks are losing their jobs and being laid off, and, you know, unemployment, things like that are running out. We have a president who's doing his best to at least try to help with a little bit of it, but there's a lot of things being affected, a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that we're dealing with, and it seems like if it's just one problem after another, one thing after another we're dealing with, and that's on top of what you're normally dealing with. That's some folks just dealing with chronic illnesses that they've been dealing with before there was a such thing as COVID-19. There's some things, folks who've been dealing with depression and anxiety long before there was a such thing called COVID-19, long before there was a such thing called a recession. There's some folks who've been dealing with just the struggles of life on top of what they already. How do they continue to go on? Jeremiah gives us a glimpse. We're going to see how we do it in just a little while. So it's not all doom and gloom, but if you just stop at the first two chapters, if you just stop at verse number 18 of chapter 3, then you'll say, well, you know what? That's no hope, because he talks about how bitter it is. Let's begin reading at Lamentations chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 14. And he reads as such. He says this: I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He had filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. He that hath removed my soul far from peace, I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Now here's somebody who we can definitely consider down in the dumps. You know, here's somebody who was just, as some folks say, going through it. Look at what he's talking about here. He's saying that life, in particular, has made him bitter. You ever been that way in life? Well, you just been dealing with so many trials, everything you taste is bitter. Now, he uses the term wormwood here. Wormwood was something that they used. It was in the daisy family. It was a plant that was used here, but it was very bitter. They used it to make medicine. I'm reminded of what we sometimes used to take called castor oil. Some of us know what that tastes like. I do. I mentioned a little bit Wednesday night in my Bible study, and, you know, and they used to tell me, it ain't good to you, but it's good for you. Anytime somebody tells you that, you know it don't taste good at all. So it was bitter to taste, but that's what it was. So he compared it to wormwood. Then he says he's broken my teeth with gravel stone. Okay. Have you ever tried to chew rocks? Has anybody ever fed you a mud pie and you were crazy enough to try it, but they put rocks in it? Have you ever bit anything like that? Have you ever broken your teeth on something so hard? And that's what you had to eat? That's all you had to eat? So here again is a picture of Jeremiah saying, my life at this time is like wormwood. Everything is bitter. Whatever I try to eat breaks my teeth. This is his mindset. And then he says in verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I ain't got no more strength, and I ain't got no more hope. You ever been there before? I'm just tired of fighting. I'm tired of dealing with what I'm dealing with. My hope is gone. What hope? I don't see nothing but misery. I see no way out of it. I don't see my situation getting better. I don't think my health is getting any better. I don't think my finances get any better. I don't think my family get along any better. This just ain't going to get any better for me, using improper English. It ain't going to get better. Jeremiah was there. So if we stop there, we like, you know what, Jeremiah, I feel you. I understand where you're at. No, August 9, 2020, a lot of folks are saying that. Matter of fact, I would dare say the majority of the world is feeling this. But I want you to see what he does here from this point on. Verse 19, he says this, because he ain't finished. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. So not only is he, that's how he is, but it's invading his thought life. You know, I talked about a little bit last week about how we must protect our thought life and we must bring every thought into captivity. These things will ruin your life. These things will permeate your mind to the point where all you do is reflect on it. You can't really see any blessings. You can't really see how good it is. You can't really see things how they are. Jeremiah was at this point. All he saw was bad. All he saw was pain. All he saw was misery. And you may say, how in the world did he get there? What was it? We get there sometimes. And I'm just being honest. We all have been there sometimes. You might not let anybody else know, but I promise if you look back in your own life's history, you and I have been there sometime when all you saw was hurt, pain, disappointment, misery. You've been there sometime in your life. And all you do, if that hadn't happened to you yet after you examine yourself, is keep living. Nothing special. Just put one foot in front of the other. Keep waking up every day. And sooner or later, the way life goes, you're going to be in that situation. Then he says this in verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and has humbled me. So not only is it affecting his memory, it's in his soul. Now that's some type of hurt. When you're hurting your soul, that's a type of hurt that's deep, isn't it? That's some things that happen to us. Oftentimes with the loss of a loved one, when you're hurting your soul, that's a hurt that really nobody but God can touch. Nobody but God can heal. All the kind words, they're great. All the hugs that we deal with, they're great. But there are really some places within our soul that nobody but God can heal. This is what Jeremiah is saying. This is where he's at. He's saying, I know all these things and it's bad, but this is how what Israel went through is affecting me. Let's see what else he says here. Then he says this, this I recall to mind. Wait a minute. He recalled all this other stuff to mind, but then it's almost like he gave himself a spiritual slap in the face. Therefore, I have hope. Wait a minute, ain't all bad. Now, my situation hadn't changed. My pain hadn't changed. The stuff that I've been dealing with every day hadn't changed. But my outlook had. So that's the difference between what Christians have and the world doesn't have. We have hope. And hope is not in what this world has. Hope is not in our crazy government figuring things out of how to better help this country. Hope is not in us getting a job that pays us $1 million a week. Hope is not in a doctor's coming up with a miracle cure to cure all the illnesses that ever affect our society. Hope is not in basically us figuring out how to get along with one another and not judge other another's by ethnicities and races. That's not what it's about. That's not where our hope lies. It lies in God. It lies in the Lord. If your hope is anywhere else, you're going to stay stuck in misery. That's the key. This I recall to mind. What does he recall to mind? Verse 22 tells you exactly what he recalls to mind. He says this: it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The reason why I'm still here is God. The reason why I can still stand with all the stuff I'm dealing with is God. The reason why I'm not dead yet is God. The reason why I can still smile is God. The reason why I can still go on and serve Him in spite of these things is God. The reason why I can still reach out a helping hand when I'm hurting is God. That's what he's saying. Because God's mercy. Do you realize that we are all experiencing God's grace and mercy and none of us are deserving? Because you may say in your own mind, you know what, God? I'm dealing with enough stuff now. You owe me your mercy and grace. No, sir, no, ma'am. He owes us death and punishment. Every last one of us. Do you ever just get up in the morning and decide to thank God all day long for what you got, not what you don't got? And again, I'm using improper English, so forgive me. I ain't started back to school yet. I get it straight when I start back to school. I got to set an example for the students I serve. Do you ever just decide to do that? Do you ever just decide to just sometimes just don't complain to God so much and thank Him? I promise you to change your mindset. Now, it doesn't mean everything is perfect. It doesn't mean you feel your best. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect in your life, but it will change your mindset. I promise you it will. Have your prayers just, in your own personal prayers, have they just said thank you and that's all you said? Have you ever just done that? Have you ever just decided to count your blessings and not your cursings? Have you ever just decided to do that? Because what it will do is it will humble you to no end. Because this is exactly what Jeremiah is beginning to do. And he's going to tell you the process. He's going to tell you how to do it and when to do it to make your life better. Notice what he says in the rest of chapter 2. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail us not. Do you and I realize that we serve a compassionate God in spite of whatever we're dealing with? Do you and I realize that we serve a God who loves us and cares about what we're dealing with, what we're dealing with and going through, no matter how we feel and what we're dealing with? Because Satan will tell you a lie that God doesn't care. If he cared, you wouldn't be dealing with this. If he cared, you wouldn't be suffering like this. I want you to ride with me a little longer. I'm not going to try to keep us long this morning, because there's a benefit to our sufferings. There's a benefit to the yoke of suffering. There's a benefit to it. There's a benefit to it. And he's going to tell us that in a little bit later on. So I'm just going to walk us through. I'm going to stay in this text this morning. I may go on over to Isaiah chapter 40 if I get a chance, but if not, I'll pick it up later. Notice what he says in verse number 23. And this is how we do it. They are new every morning. Let me say that again. His mercies and compassions are new every morning. I wonder how our lives would change if we decided not to bring yesterday into every day. I wonder how much better it would be if we realize, if we just realize to live one day at a time. Just one day at a time. I want to just realize that we made a concerted effort to thank God when you saw the sunrise in the morning, as opposed to cursing him because you got to get up in the morning. I wonder, just wonder, if we decide to thank God because we had food in the refrigerator, as opposed to cursing him because now we got to cook it. I wonder, just wonder, if we decide to thank God, and even though we ached a little bit, but thank him because we were still able to put one foot in front of the other. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. Yeah, you're getting a little older. Yeah, it's a little harder. I wonder, just wonder, if we thank God for every breath that we're able to breathe, knowing some folks are struggling to take every breath. I wonder, just wonder, if we thank God for having a roof over our head when there are folks still sleeping outside in the elements and wish they could trade places with you. I wonder, just wonder, if we thank God for being able to hear the voices of our known relatives when there were folks who died yesterday and would still like to hear the voices of loved ones. I wonder, just wonder, do we thank God for folks who cut us off in traffic when we still have a job to go to? I wonder, just wonder, after a hard day's work, do we thank God that we got a loving wife and family to go home to, as opposed to taking it out on them because we had a rough day at work? I wonder, just wonder, do we thank God every day at night that we have a bed to lay our head down in before we start living in tomorrow and thinking about another rough day we got ahead of us? How much it will change our lives. See, Jeremiah gets it here. Because as bad as Israel was living, and as bad as they were dealing with, he says, my Lord's mercies are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. And then he says this, great is thy faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. And because we serve a faithful God, we know that whatever troubles we deal with won't last forever. This is what he's saying about the nation of Israel. And they were in captivity for 70 years. And 70 years seemed like a long time. But it was all because of their disobedience. It was not because God didn't love them. We see that a little bit later on. Let's skip on down a little bit more. And then what happens is verse 24. He says, the Lord is my portion. Now, what is he doing here? What is he saying? If you go back on back when Israel, the land of Israel, the land, the promised land was divided up, there was one group who didn't get land. And it was the sons of Aaron, the Levites. They didn't get land, but they got more blessings anyway because it said the Lord was their portion. Everybody else got a portion of land, but the Levites, they didn't get land, but they got more. They got more. The Lord was their portion. So do we look at ourselves being that blessed? Do you look at yourself that you may not have what the world has, but the Lord is our portion? That's all we really need. That's it. If the Lord is your portion, what are you lacking? If the Lord is your portion, what do you and I really need? That's it. That's what Jeremiah's telling them. As bad as it was, as bad as he was complaining, he came to his senses. And he said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Now he's talking outside of himself. He's talking to himself in third person. Therefore, I will hope in him. Since the Lord is my portion, I know it's bad, but I ain't focusing on how bad it is. I'm focusing on my God who can do all things. That's the key. Not only did he leave his past behind, not only did he decide to live in the day, but he says this, since the Lord is my portion, I'm not going to worry about too much else. I'm not going to let everything else that I'm dealing with affect the fact that my Lord is faithful. I'm not going to let the fact that I'm in a bad place and I'm dealing with severe depression, because he was. I'm not going to let the fact, because he was able to talk to himself. He says, I said to myself, soul, I'm going to trust in God. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we got to talk to our problems and say, you know what, problems, I know you're still there, and I'm not trying to say, and I'm trying to just bury my head in the sand, but guess what? The Lord is my portion. So you're not going to rob me of my joy and peace. We live in a world now that is absent of joy and peace because of trials and tribulations. And guess who's running and driving that train? Christians. And that's not a good train to be driving. We ought to be setting the example of how to live in a world with joy and peace intact when everything else is crumbling down. We ought to be setting the example of how to continue to love one another as Christ has commanded in this world of hatred, division, racism, and all of the above, because God is our portion. We ought to be setting the example. We ought to be leading the example of how to live a godly life and stand on godly principles. That's how we ought to do it. It's our job. Why? Because God is our portion. That's why. Let's read on a little bit further. Bring this thing in for a landing. Then he says this, the Lord is good to them who wait on him. That lets us know right there, that the problems may not disappear right away. That lets us know there won't be a miracle cure oftentimes to your problems. That lets us know we may have to wait. That lets us know he may increase some patience. That lets us know that we're going to have to hang in there some. Our situation may not change overnight. And then he says this in verse 26. It is good. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait. How can you hope and quietly wait at the same time? It's possible. It's possible. And then verse 27 says this. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth. Like I said earlier, it's good sometimes for us to be yoked down with a little bit of burden. You think back in some of your time. You think back to maybe how our parents raised us. Think back to how they raised us. Now, some of us were so angry because our parents were so hard on us. But how many of you thank them now for it? I know I do. And I appreciate it. And I love them. As a matter of fact, I needed more whoopings, to be honest with you. I might have been a little bit better. To be honest with you, thank you. Thank you for being hard on them. Thank you. That was love. So that's what it's telling us here. And then it says, he sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust so that there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is full, feel full with reproach. So here he's learned to be humble. He's learned to be humble. Even when he's being chastised, even in suffering, he's learned to be humble. Why? Because God was his portion. God was his hope. And it was new every day. This is how we live life in a time of trial and tribulation. This is the key. This is how we live life, family, and keep our joy and peace intact. This is how we live life, the way God wants us to be. Troubling times are nothing new. If you don't believe it, go back and read Jeremiah. It was bad. So bad that there were carcasses left in the streets. So many people were dying, they just rotted in the streets. Nothing new. Nothing new. Don't be afraid of it. Even in our beloved United States, this is nothing new. Nothing new. But it's a great time to witness for God. It's a great time to stand up for God. It's a great time to show the world that's looking for something beyond this world what it means to be a Christian. It's a great time for it. But we got to believe it ourselves. We never get to pass to where they are. We'll never see that God is our portion. Hopefully I've encouraged some folks today. Hopefully I made you think about your thinking. Hopefully I've let you understand that our hope should be in Christ Jesus. Our hope should be in God. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel. We must believe what we have heard. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Places into Christ Jesus. Makes us new creatures. And from time to time, we fall short. Like I said before, we've all been where Jeremiah is. We've all been there. And if or not, just keep living. Just keep living. Don't do anything special. Just keep living. And sooner or later, you'll have those moments. But Jeremiah gives us the key. No matter what, the Bible tells us, weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We serve a God who said it'll get better. Don't know when, but it will. And we just have to have our hope in Him. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or even request prayer if you're Christians, we ask you to stand and come.